Afterward, tipping point lessons from the real world. Not long after The Tipping Point came out, I happened to talk to an epidemiologist, a man who had spent the better part of his professional life battling the AIDS epidemic. He was a thoughtful fellow and frustrated in the way that you can imagine someone would be who has had to deal on a daily basis with such a terrible disease. We were sitting in a cafe talking about my book, which he had read, and then he said something startling. "I wonder if we would have been better off if we had never discovered the AIDS virus at all." I don't think he meant that literally, or that he regretted the countless lives that had been saved or prolonged by anti-HIV drugs and the AIDS test. What he meant was this, that the AIDS epidemic is fundamentally a social phenomenon. It spreads because of the beliefs and social structures and poverty and prejudices and personalities of a community. And sometimes getting caught up in the precise biological characteristics of a virus merely serves as a distraction. We might have halted the spread of AIDS far more effectively just by focusing on those beliefs and social structures and poverty and prejudices and personalities. And when he said that, a light bulb went on inside my head. That's what I was trying to say in The Tipping Point. A book, I was taught long ago in English class, is a living and breathing document that grows richer with each new reading. But I never quite believed that until I wrote The Tipping Point. I wrote my book without any clear expectation of who would read it, or what, if anything, it would be useful for. It seemed presumptuous to think otherwise. But in the years since its publication, I have been inundated with the comments of readers. I have received thousands of emails through my website, www.cloudwell.com. I have spoken at conferences and retreats and sales meetings and chatted with internet entrepreneurs and shoe designers and community activists and movie executives and countless others, and each time I have learned something new about my book and about why it seems to have touched such a chord. In New Jersey, the philanthropist Sharon Karmazin bought 300 copies of The Tipping Point and sent one to every public library in the state, promising to fund any ideas they could come up with that were inspired by my book. "Use the thinking in the book to create something new," Karmazin told librarians. "Don't just give us something you wanted to do anyway." Within a few months, Tipping Point grants totaling close to $100,000 had been given out to 21 different libraries. In Roselle, the public library is on a side street, hidden away behind shrubbery, and so the library got a grant to put up signs around town to direct people to the library. Another library used its grant to teach the connectors among the group of seniors who use the library to surf the net, betting that they will draw in other patrons. Still another library bought Spanish language books and materials, hoping to create a draw for an underserved population in their town. None of the grants was more than a few thousand dollars, nor were the ideas themselves more than modest. But that was the point.